This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call here on a Tuesday on the SportsMap Radio Network. I know Major League Baseball is going through a real problem right now. The St. Louis Cardinals, for example, had their four-game series with Detroit canceled. They already had a weekend series with Milwaukee canceled. Oh, postponed, I should say. Got to use the right verbiage here, I guess, because they couldn't make these games up. But they're quarantined in Milwaukee right now with a plan to get back to St. Louis by the time to play a series against the Cubs at Busch Stadium. There's 13 members within the organization that have the virus. Seven of them are players. Baseball has to postpone games, figure out a way to make it up. We know we talked about some of the problems Rob Manfred is going to have. Derek Jeter spoke out about this now that he's the Marlins CEO. He said that there was a problem with everybody getting a little too comfortable with the traveling party for the Marlins, for example, just getting too comfortable. I think Major League Baseball, you know, because of the fact that there isn't a bubble like the NBA and the NHL, there isn't that ominous cloud that hovers over the entire process of what exactly are we doing and why are we doing it this way. If you treat the games in some level of normalcy, and again, with no fans in the stands, that should have been a sign that we are really need to take this virus seriously enough if we want to continue to play. Not necessarily like, again, if you want to keep the season going and you want the paychecks to continue and you don't want the season to stop, you have to do your part as a Major League Baseball player to follow strictly the protocol guidelines. Right, if you agreed to that, you've got to stick by it. You can't go to a casino. You can't do other things. You have to stick by the protocol. If you go to the NBA, for example, at Disney World, there almost is a feeling the virus is hovering over the entire process. Why are we living in this hotel? Why can't I see my family? Why are we walking to this arena? Why are we going to this arena in our own uniforms and not changing there? Why are we showering in our hotel rooms? Why are we getting food delivered? Why? Because of the virus. The more normal you make baseball, the more they're going to feel like they can do normal things, and you're just going to keep shutting down games. This is on everybody. This is on baseball teams, but it's also on the players too. Jeter is right in a way. It's just a little too comfortable. SportsMap Radio Network.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio Network. Yep, I'm 1 year older today. Thank you, Mr. Culver. Good little morning. I was thinking about my more memorable birthdays that I've ever had. And listen, I mean, I've had people throw me some nice parties and whatnot. I remember my 40th birthday. We did a kid's birthday party, like to try to turn back the clock.
Yeah.
So we had like, I had a Batman themed party. If I was like
That's
nine.
That's a great idea.
So what I did was the whole party, like my wife organized it. She did the whole party was like, you like going to Party City and buying like Batman plates and cups and little hats and stuff. Yeah. She did all of that. She had a Batman cake because, well, my favorite superhero as a kid was Batman. My friends brought in toys that we ended up donating, and that was kind of like the gift. So like I was opening up toys, and then we donated.
Right.
And then
wasn't one that you kept like, oh man.
Oh yeah. It was really fun. There was some pretty cool ones. what I did was I organized a bunch of games, just kids games. And we played as adults, like tug of war, pin the tail on the donkey. And it was a blast. And the kids, my friends who had kids, they all had a good time. I kind of thought that was a good idea. Like if you're turning 40, like
that's a great idea.
Just go back to being a kid.
Yeah. Pinata. Like,
Well, my wife wanted a pinata, but we didn't get one. But she really was looking to
That's
get
probably
one.
Dangerous because it is 40. It is an adult party. I'm certain that you guys weren't all just drinking from Capri Suns and juice boxes.
That's right. That's right.
And then if you put a stick in someone's hand and say, hey, whack this thing, I could see where issues might arise.
The cool thing was, is that every single person that came afterwards said, this was great. I wish I did this when I turned 40. Like, everyone thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, no, I don't even remember what I did for my 40.
We had a really good time. But when I turned 15, the legal age to work, to have a job in the state of New Hampshire, it was my first day as a dishwasher at a restaurant. And to me, it was always cool that my first day as a working adult, quote unquote, was on my 15th birthday. And I washed dishes. I made like $3.75 an hour.
Woo!
And I got to eat ice cream. I worked at this restaurant that was kind of famous for its ice cream. And it was like an ice cream parlor / burger kind of joint, short order cook kind of place. And the owner loved the ice cream. Like, he loved his ice cream. He had bubble gum and this kind of flavor and this kind of flavor. And so he was an old guy, and his family ran it, like his sons ran it, but he was like this old guy. And he would always ask us to try the ice cream, which is like, you're 15, this is great. Like, this is great when your boss is telling you, let me know what you think of the chocolate swirl. Like, well, give me a bowl. I'll wolf it down. And it was a great place. I worked there for like 3 years up until I went to like my senior year in high school.
See, that's
a great,
that's
great little place.
That's a place plus a donut shop. Those are two places I could never work.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I remember my girlfriend in high school, she worked at a frozen yogurt place. So I could go and visit her anytime and get, she would always just give me free frozen yogurt with as many toppings as I wanted. That was dangerous.
Yeah, that's true.
I would go in all the time and be like, oh yeah, just, you know, do I go in and get a small? No. Give me the large one.
Of course not. So
load that puppy up. I want to get to the point where there's so much stuff on top of that ice cream that I don't see the ice cream.
That's right. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. But we were talking about Major League Baseball at the top of the hour, and this another four games are off the board for the St. Louis Cardinals. Their four-game series, they were supposed to play a doubleheader Wednesday. Their entire four-game series has been postponed. I want to say canceled, because I just can't imagine they're going to find room on the schedule to make up four games. The Cardinals have played five games so far this season. Five. That's it. They lost four more. When they play Friday against the Cubs, if they play Friday against the Cubs, they're five games into a season where the Yankees will have probably 12 to 13 games under their belt.
Well, I was glad you brought that up. That was a weird thing yesterday, because the Yankees took on the Phillies. And it was the 7-1 Yankees, I believe, against, I can't remember if it was 2-1 Phillies or 1-2 Phillies.
Yeah, I think 2-1 Phillies.
2-1
Phillies.
But I mean, it was the fact that it was 7-1. A team had, you know, played eight games and the other team had only played three.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was just bizarre to see. And you could see, you could tell, too. Phillies look terrible.
Yeah. The Yankees are great.
They
got another three home runs last night.
Yeah.
And one of them wasn't Aaron Judge.
Yeah,
who
he sucks,
six on
by the
way. Season. I mean, it was Gio Urshela had a three-run shot. DJ LeMahieu hit a home run.
Yeah.
Brett Gardner hit a home run.
But Aaron Judge.
8-1.
Aaron Judge is a bum.
Yeah, he's a bum. Couldn't homer again.
But
you
ended his streak at five.
The Atlanta Braves are 7-4. They lost to the Mets last night, but Mike Soroka is out for the rest of the season. That's a big deal. He was their ace. He was almost the rookie of the year last year. You have Justin Verlander still out. You have Ohtani. He's out.
He's done.
For 4 to 6 weeks.
He's done. They're pretty much saying that. That he'll likely never pitch again.
Does he not have the quote forearm strain that you get?
Let's take it a step further, a step back a little bit more. Wasn't he supposed to be the next Babe Ruth?
Yes.
When he came in, it's like, this guy can hit. He can pitch.
He can hit and pitch. Exactly. But look, can injuries that end the season occur in August during 162? Of course. Right, of course. But when you jump into the season, like jumping into the deep end of the pool a week ago, 2 weeks ago, yes, this is problematic, right? Like, when you have an injury that was like, yeah, you're out 4 to 6 weeks, it's one of those, you know, injuries. And Soroka is a little different. It wasn't an arm thing. He has a leg injury. But that's it. You're done. Like, that's in a sprint to the finish, you're done.
Yeah, well, I mean, for Soroka, though, he was going to be out for the year no matter what.
No, right, no matter what.
It didn't matter if it was 162.
Because he tore an Achilles.
Yeah.
Yeah, he even tore an Achilles.
I mean, that That looked to be really painful.
It did look to be painful. And this, I mean, immediately my friends here in Nashville, like on Facebook and Twitter, were like, that's it. Wow, that's all she wrote.
Yeah.
Because he's their ace. He's their ace. But I don't know. I'm not giving up on this. I'm not giving up. They're expanding the playoffs. Like, you know, just play to survive.
Crazy things can happen.
Yeah, exactly. You never know who somebody might step up. Don't get all doom and gloomy on you.
Braves fan, listen up. If Mets fan is not giving up and they had a player missing.
Yeah, that's right.
He ended up being on the back of a milk carton there for a couple of hours.
Exactly.
And Mets fan still isn't giving up. And they might be having to call up Tim Tebow. We don't know. We're speculating on our end.
You got my fingers crossed.
Yes, please.
Still waiting. But again, this is, you know, look, does baseball have a virus problem? Of course. But everyone thought they were going to anyway. But I am worried about, and I was talking about this yesterday, and yesterday's, you know, talking about yesterday morning and then yesterday's news about what was going to go down with the Cardinals made me more inclined to go down this road, which is there is going to be a point where if you're not careful, if the players don't start taking this seriously, where, look, they're not going to play you if you have the virus, okay? Like, you're not going to play, and you're not going to play for a while if you get this thing. So if you do sneak out to the club, if you do go to a casino, if you do, you know, break away from the protocols that you agreed to, your season is in jeopardy. You're playing, you know, your postseason hopes could be in jeopardy because there could be a point where Manfred is just the cancellations keep piling on and piling on and piling on. And then you don't have any semblance of a season to sort of to support your postseason. If your regular season ends up becoming a huge disaster of just a complete mess where teams are missing huge chunks of time, like this Cardinals thing, for example, Cardinals get it under control, right? They're quarantined in Milwaukee. And let's say they get it under control. They stop the spread and they play. What happens Labor Day week if there's another outbreak on the team? What happens if there's another 10 people on the Cardinals in September? And they lose another 7 games on top of 7 games. And the dates for the makeup games from August aren't being able to be made up in September because there's another outbreak. And then multiply that by 6 or 7 or 8 teams around the league. What happens when Manfred looks at it and goes, God, this is not ending. I can't control this. I can't stop this. I need help from the players on this. We did everything we possibly could. You did not want to be in a bubble. You did not want to play in Arizona where we were bussing you to and from the ballpark and you were going to live in a hotel for 4 months. You didn't want us to do that. So we didn't do that. You wanted to play in your home parks, even if they were empty. You wanted to go home to your wife and kids at the end of a home game. And we gave this to you. But reason we gave this to you is because we had the feeling or we had the belief that you would do your part. And not run to a casino for crying out loud or any of these other reasons why these outbreaks are occurring. If the players don't get on board, this is going to get shut down. So I understand the frustration on his part. Look, I maybe wouldn't have taken that exact tone that he took a couple of days ago. I know Jeter's is blaming in this on a sense of security. I understand his point of view as well.
Well, he's in that protective role, too.
Of course.
Because you hear all the stories. As soon as this came out, everyone was, shut the Marlins down. Let's end the Marlins season. Marlins don't deserve to play. Look what they did to this team. Look what they're doing to that team. And so, you, as an owner, I think you got to protect your product. You got to try to get ahead of it.
He can't support that notion. Like,
yeah.
He can't say, we deserve to be.
Especially when you look at the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are as guilty as the Marlins of what their outside baseball activity, but we're not saying anything about the Cardinals.
No, because the Marlins have been we've been kicking the Marlins around pretty much since they entered the league. They win the World Series like 4 years after they get into the league, and then they break it all down, and they win it again, and then they break it all down, and nobody goes to games, and you can get tickets for $1. And I mean, we've been saying this about they built a ballpark. There's a scandal behind their ballpark that they built, right? I mean, there's all sort. It feels like nothing they do is right, right? Except they have 2 world championships, which is amazing,
yes.
Right? I mean, they had 2 world championships before. Let's see. Yeah, before the Red Sox ended their streak, their curse. They had already two world championships under their belt because they won their last one in 2003. Then the next year, the Red Sox won.
And also, I mean, look at this. I mean, you can go down a list. I know the Padres are on this list that they have more world championships than the Padres.
Right.
The Padres have been in the league a lot longer.
And remember, too, this was a team that, if you remember Back to the Future 2, they were Back to the Future 2 predicted that the Cubs would beat Miami in the World Series of 2015. And there wasn't even a team in Miami at the time that it was released. So right. You can understand if you are a longtime fan of, let's say, the Red Sox, who had waited 86 years, still going on strong in 2003, and Miami had celebrated two world championships already. And you were still waiting to break the curse of the Bambino. I would understand how angry you would be if that was the case. But again, you're right. We're not doing that with the Cardinals. We're not saying hey, St. Louis, you better just shut down your season and just get out of this and let the big boys play. Right? So if I'm Jeter, I would be like, no, I'm sticking up for the thing I'm running. But if they don't get cooperation, it's going to just pile on, and it's going to get to a point where Manfred's going to go, look, I got one team that played 48 games and another one that played 13. What am I doing? How are we going to sort this out?
Yeah.
And
you're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to squeeze in triple headers.
Yeah, that's right. Then it becomes almost.
What do you have, five inning triple headers? I mean, it might be fun to see, to be honest with you. But
good, the bad, and the dumb. It's coming up this hour. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Talked about the Big 12. They're going conference only plus one. Because they don't want to play nine games amongst their 10-team conference. So everybody gets a game. Everybody gets a non-conference game. Which, I wonder what you would do. Like, who would you go after? Which team that needs a paycheck would you go after if you're Oklahoma? You got a schedule, right? You have games on your schedule you're going to have to cancel, but there's some you've already booked. Which ones do you keep? Which ones do you get rid of? But the way it's going to look like is they're going to... everybody's going to play that non-conference game first. And because the other Power 5 conferences are going conference only too, you've got the pickings of the smaller conferences, smaller schools that you're going to write a check to. So everyone's going to get that warm-up game, quote-unquote, and then it's off to the races. The big thing that I'm taking away from this college football season, well, there's a couple of things I'm taking away from it. One, I'm optimistic. I think I like this plan. I like where they're going. But two, What I'm going to be interested in seeing is if you're playing your conference, right? If you're only playing your conference schedule. So again, for the Big 12, it's plus one, but for the SEC, it's only the SEC. All these other conferences under the same boat. What happens when the committee sits down to evaluate your schedule? Whereas before there was this sort of commonality with non-conference games, there's a little bit of a couple of degrees separation where you could say, well, you beat this team, they played this team. There's always like a little web that you can do this with, right? Well, that's going to be gone. So you get the SEC, for example, and I've always said this about parity. People love to talk about parity, and they'll say, well, like in the SEC, the big thing about the SEC was always, look, the SEC is great. They beat up, we beat up each other. Parity doesn't equal excellence. Parity just equals parity. Just because you beat up each other doesn't mean that you're good. It doesn't mean you're terrible, but it doesn't automatically mean excellence. Just because Florida beats Georgia and Georgia beats South Carolina and South Carolina beats Tennessee and Tennessee beats Auburn, and just because there is a level of feeling like we beat each other up doesn't mean the quality is good. It just means you're all equal. And you're all playing a season on an equal level where this kind of stuff is bound to happen. So how do you separate it? if you're on the committee, when it's all said and done, how do you extract excellence when there is just, when you might have a level of parity? Now, in the Big 12, you might have Oklahoma, for example, running away with it, right? You might have Oklahoma, or Oklahoma State, who's projected to have a very good year, too. You might have them pull away from the pack, and therefore there's this level of eyeball test that can occur with those schools. But the SEC, what if there is a two-loss champion coming out of the SEC, but you just know they're good? Like, you know they're very good. How much weight does the second loss play in your evaluation? There isn't going to be an outside, you know, if you're Florida, let's say, and you beat Florida State, or you're, you know, South Carolina and you upset Clemson, or you're whatever non-conference games you used to play on a year in and year out basis. There isn't something that sort of kicks you up a little bit. We talked about this with Clemson and the ACC. When the ACC was getting Notre Dame in, it was important because they were so bottom weak that you sort of were wondering, well, we don't want our top end school like Clemson or somebody else to be forced to go unbeaten through this to sort of make their stand as a college football national championship contender. If there's a little bit of meat on this schedule, being more conference only plus Notre Dame, then we can get away with the one loss. We know the SEC is going to be able to. Heck, we think the Big 12 is able to. The Big 10 should be able to. We should be able to, too. I mean, Clemson played in the national championship game last year. And Clemson, for a good little portion of the game in the beginning, was holding its own against LSU until LSU pulled away. But there was a lot of conversation throughout the season of whether or not Clemson could afford any loss at all. We felt like LSU could, right? We felt like, even though they didn't, we felt like they could, given their conference and how tough that conference is. Nobody, I don't think, would really blame them if they were to have lost at Alabama. But the ACC didn't get, I mean, Clemson didn't get that same kind of thing. So now you have a committee that is going to be sorting all of this out just based on what they see within the conference. So they're going to have to make two judgments. One, eyeball test the teams that are coming out on top of the conference, and then judging the conference overall without any other barometer to judge a team by. Right? If you had a weak conference, but a team that just pulled away to the top, that's not the fault of the team that's really good. You don't fault a football team because everybody else within their conference is having a down year, week, maybe going through a coaching change, maybe recruiting hadn't been good, maybe injuries affect the top, you know, tier teams, and you took advantage of it. But what has always been college football, at least from the committee standpoint, was, and they've been begging teams to do this since pretty much the inception of this in process a couple of years ago, go get opponents. Go play the tougher games. Go outside the conference. Hey, if you're in the SEC, pick up the phone and call Ohio State. Call Penn State. Call USC. Call Oregon. Make those games happen. Call Oklahoma. Make those games happen. When we have to remove them because of circumstances, what judgment is the committee going to make? Don't get me wrong. I'm really optimistic about this because, again, I think it's important that commissioners keep everything within their family. Everybody's under the same protocol. Everybody is doing the same thing within your own bubble, within your own university system. I shouldn't use the term bubble because it actually has a different meaning now. But within your own sphere of influence, I am the commissioner of the SEC. I'm dictating to Kentucky, to LSU, to Florida, South Carolina, Missouri. I'm dictating how you're going to progress as the season goes on. What does it mean when we have five cases? What do workouts look like? But I can't tell Oregon what to do. And I can't tell Ohio State what to do. So I'm optimistic that these plans are going to work. But if I'm on that committee, now I have to come up with a different criteria of how I judge these teams. Eyeball and how good that conference is without that secondary thing of non-conference games, because those are off the table. Good, the bad, and the dumb. It's coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on our Tuesday on Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Let's get the good of the day, my friend.
The good of the day is human feats that I do not understand.
All right. Okay. Yes.
There is this video that surfaced yesterday of Katie Ledecky.
Yep.
Have you came across that?
I did. It's totally fake.
Is it fake?
I'm totally buying that it's fake.
I don't know if it's an impossibility. Fake.
This is impossible to do. She's swimming in a pool, balancing a what?
She's balancing a glass of chocolate milk on top of her head. Now, she has a snorkel, so she's able to keep her head underwater the entire time.
Maybe it isn't fake then.
Yeah. But she's not holding her breath the entire way.
This can't be real.
If it's real, this is one of the more amazing feats I've ever seen in my entire life.
I agree 100%. If she's able to balance that chocolate milk swimming in that pool like she's swimming, she isn't doggy paddling.
No, she is.
She's actually swimming.
Granted, she's not going Olympic speed.
No, she's not going Olympic speed. But, let's make that clear.
But I'll be honest with you, she's still beating me. If I'm in the lane next to her, she's swimming faster than me. And I would be going, erratic as fast as I possibly could to keep up with her.
So I just don't. Where is she balancing the milk on her back of her neck?
How is
it balancing?
She's wearing a swim cap. Maybe there's like a little saucer or a disc.
Maybe. Okay. If that's the case, then maybe.
I don't know if that's the case. But still, the entire length of an Olympic sized pool and not one drop spilled.
Because here's what I'm wondering.
And it's for a Got Milk ad.
If you laid down on the floor. Forget swimming. Don't worry about swimming for a second. And you lay down on the floor. Could your kids or your wife take a glass of chocolate milk and find a place on the back of your head, anywhere on your head, that the milk would just stay there?
Nah, because I'm probably
lopsided. Without you moving. That's what I keep wondering. How is she, forget swimming, how is she just balancing the chocolate milk in general? Just being on, laying on her stomach.
So you think this is some, yesterday we talked about that Nike commercial where the editing was unreal.
Right.
Maybe that there's some editing, some Hollywood trickery.
See, here's the thing. My initial reaction is yes, but then there's part of me that goes, look, if you're Katie Ledecky, you got to go, look, I don't want to be involved in any trickery here. I either can do this or I can't. Maybe she can do this. Maybe
it wouldn't surprise me. How much time does she spend in a pool?
But that, to me, I'm wondering where the milk balances. Where is it flat enough that it's not tilted? It's not leaning in one direction or the other.
Maybe they did her hair up in a way because it's under a swim cap.
So maybe they
did her hair up in a way that would act like a natural cup holder.
But you are 100% correct. If this is real, and in all likelihood,
Watch it a couple times. I sat there and I'm like, what am I? Okay, I'm watching her swim, and then first she starts off kind of slow. And I'm like, okay, well, that's no big deal. And then when she picked up speed, that's where it really hit me. And then the length of it, I was like, okay, how is this even possible?
By the way, too,
is this on a string?
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Did she need to practice this? Because I'm pretty sure at no point in her life they said, all right, we're going to balance some liquid on your head. Here's the other thing. Chocolate milk in a swimming pool, that's a pain in the butt to clean out.
Yeah.
I got to let it go to the filter. All right, let's try it again. Take 74. Hey, clean that pool. I don't know, man. But it's a phenomenal athletic feat if it's real. You're 100% correct. It blows me away that it's real.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I watched it again just now. I don't know.
It looks real.
It looks real.
I'm watching it too. It looks real.
Now I will say this. If this is for a campaign, if this is for an ad, that there is more than one take.
Yeah,
and even I hate to pull the expose the man behind the curtain when it comes to those YouTube videos with Dude Perfect. You know, that's not the, you know, when they do those trick shots, it's not the first time they try it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It's over and over. It could be hundreds before they finally get it.
So do you think there's a cover on top of the glass?
No, I don't.
Well, no, hold on. Like, so she could practice that. Because, look, if she spills the milk in the pool, they can't do the shot again. They have to get they have to clean the pool so there's it's pristine.
Unless it's not real chocolate milk.
Well, what I'm saying is there a cover on top of the glass where it's really a glass that would spill, but it wouldn't leak, so that she could just go, okay, put it back on my head. Let's try it again. Let's keep trying again. There's no threat of the milk getting into the water.
Yeah.
So that she could just keep doing it and doing it. And the glass just tips, goes in the water. They just pull it out.
Matt, you know this. I mean, if you were to spill some chocolate milk in the water, it's not entirely terribly harmful for the filtration system.
No, but it does. But it does ruin. It ruins the pristineness of what she's trying to do.
Right.
She's in a pool. They're trying to cut an ad. They don't want puddles of chocolate milk floating all over the pool.
It would stain the cap.
She would go through a lot of caps. 75 times that it's taken her to do this. It's really amazing. Yeah. She's fantastic.
Let's just chalk it up to this. That was her first try, first attempt, and she nailed it on the first try.
I would agree. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, there were some drug smugglers.
Is bad.
Yeah, they were trying to fly a plane filled with cocaine.
Are we still doing this?
They're still doing it. They were flying
from Pablo Escobar's day?
Yes, and that's where this story has a little bit of fun to it. They were flying from Papua New Guinea down to Australia. The problem was that they underestimated the amount of weight of cocaine that they put inside their little plane.
I feel like I've heard this story before.
Yeah, I mean, I swear it's right out of a movie.
Right.
It was 1,100 pounds of cocaine worth about roughly, the street value is about $57 million, and they had issues taking off. Now, the fun part of this is that they were flying it to Australia, but it's all backed by an Italian mafia out of Italy.
All right. So connect that again.
I tried.
This is crazy.
That's where I think it's, you know, it borderlines something, you know, Narcos or Scarface.
I feel like every drug movie I've ever seen involves some small plane that can't lift off.
Yeah.
Because the cocaine is too heavy.
Yeah, the law enforcement officials said they were part of a Melbourne-based drug ring with connections to the Italian mafia.
Yeah.
I thought Italians didn't get into cocaine, did they? I thought that, you know, wasn't that one of the rules?
That was in The Godfather.
Yeah.
Remember The Godfather where Marlon Brando, The Godfather,
Vito Corleone, get into that
he
business.
Said, no, don't get, I'm not, we're not getting into that.
Right? Did we learn nothing? Now, I know, I think Goodfellas, they went that route.
Yeah, Goodfellas went that route, but remember Paulie was like, don't get into that junk.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway. My Pittsburgh connection, I had to bring it. Yeah, remember that? Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I guess it all depends on which Italian mafia movie you watch.
I guess so.
But, yeah, I mean, this is straight out of, this is that phone call that the mob boss gets in the middle of the night saying, yeah, you know those guys we had doing that deal for us? Well, they crashed.
Yeah, they crashed.
He was like, we'll make sure none of them talk.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, a Florida man.
We doing Florida Man stuff?
Yeah,
Florida Man. Just never
but
ends.
This one, I mean, you need to walk me through with the level of dumbness.
Okay.
Okay. So Florida Man, he drove off with a $140,000 Porsche.
Okay.
Using a phony check he printed from his home computer.
You can buy a Porsche with just a check without them checking to see if the check is valid?
That's the first dumb. Right? He literally drove off the lot with this Porsche.
Right.
How he got caught was he felt a little arrogant about, hey, I just wrote a $140,000 check for a Porsche, and these guys didn't wait for it to clear and let me drive off. So he went to a jewelry store and tried to buy three Rolexes for like $60,000.
Writing a check.
The store owner at the jewelry store said, well, I'm going to hold on to these Rolexes until the check clears. And that's how he got in trouble.
Well done.
Now here's
Rolex dealer who knows how to do this.
Yeah. Rolex dealers clear from the dumb. So we have the car dealership we could put them in the dumb. We have the guy who thinks printing a check from his home computer would work. But I'm going to take it a step further with Florida Man, that he felt that he wasn't doing anything wrong because the check that he printed had his account number on it.
So he didn't even like phony it up.
No, no.
That's great.
So I don't know where the level of dumbness is right here.
The Porsche salespeople, are they from Glengarry Glen Ross? Like, are they that desperate?
Probably. Well, yeah, I think in this pandemic, sure.
Like,
no one's buying cars.
Like, really? Like they went, oh, goody, 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 I just sold myself a Porsche. Put me on the board. I want to make sure I get those steak knives. And, oh, by the way, I gave me this check. I can't wait till it cashes and my commission comes in. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Like, a $140,000 car doesn't take a whole list of things you have to do in order to get the keys to such a vehicle?
I know it's been a while, but, I mean, think back to the last time you bought a car.
Yeah.
How long were you sitting in that finance office?
I was there for 6 hours.
Right.
Right?
It's a process that should be as easy as buying bread. You know, either you have the money, you have the financials that back it, or you don't.
Right.
And then you sign some paperwork. I still, to this day, don't understand how it takes 6 hours.
They're like Rumpelstiltskin. They'll take your firstborn, right?
Yes.
I mean, they're like, you're in there forever. And you're like, can I please just buy the car? Can I please? And they're like, okay, let's go through this again. And this guy apparently was like, hey, I got a little piece of paper that says $140,000 on it. And they're like, hey, great. Just if you give me that, I'll give you the keys to that vehicle right there. And no questions asked. You give me that piece of paper and I'll give you this very valuable car.
And I mean,
what a bunch of dummies.
If you got away with that, wouldn't you sit there and go, okay, maybe I ought to lay low.
Right.
That actually worked. Or maybe he just thought like, hey, I'm writing a check with my own account. I don't know if he has the money. I really, that part of the article, I'm not sure about.
You know that line, run like you stole something? Yeah. Like, run like you stole something and then just disappear for a while.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Tuesday. One of the biggest changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask, and not all offer the same comfort and protection. You're looking for breathability, but you're also looking for protection. And one of the reasons why I go with Boomer Naturals, it's their three-layer, comfortable, highly breathable mask. They're talking about nano silver. It's woven into the fabric, and it can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth. That's what we want right now, best protection. They offer the popular nano silver neck gaiters. They come in sizes for adults, teens, children. They're in stock now and they can ship to you fast. If you order now at boomernaturals.com, use the promo code Tony, you save 20%. That's Tony, you save 20%. How great is that? Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at boomernaturals.com. Another great thing is Boomer donates one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping tens of thousands of Americans in need. I love that. Order now, boomernaturals.com. Use the promo code Tony, save 20%. It's my birthday, but I'm giving a gift to you. Promo code Tony, save 20% at boomernaturals.com.
Happy birthday.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, Cheek Asman Show coming up next. Every time I hear this, every time I see the video, I keep wondering, did John go, I got to explain this to Jackie. Jackie's going to ask about this.
No. John went, Jackie, I got to work late tonight.
Jackie's like, that woman, that Marilyn Monroe, she seemed to get really into your birthday song.
It's all acting, sweetie.
No, no.
She's an incredible actress.
God, did you see Something Like It Hot? She's really good at this.
Yeah.
Because I know this, if I had like if I was hanging out with a very attractive lady who sang to me like that on my birthday, my wife would be like, we're leaving right now. Yeah, an icon.
An icon.
She's like, we're leaving. I don't care. We're leaving. What is this? Where to go?
Or you have that look. You get that look that burns through your soul.
Right?
Yeah, just that stare, that glare down. You're like, oh, God.
Yes.
I don't even, there's no words. I don't even know what to say.
The Kennedy era, where you could just the press didn't care.
Yeah, well, it was socially acceptable back then. Let's face it.
Yeah. Well, you're John F. Kennedy. You're young and you're president. What do you know?
Yeah.
That's how it rolled. And the press just let it go. You know, heard the rumors, but that wasn't their thing.
Yeah, snuck her in through the tunnels under the White House.
Under the White House, exactly. Exactly.
Which may or may not exist.
Yeah. I was mentioning a couple of people that also share the same birthday as myself. What? Roger Clemens' birthday today. What's Roger Clemens doing these days?
What is he doing?
I don't know, because I know he had sons that played at Texas baseball.
Well, he has one son who, I think it's Casey?
Yeah.
Casey?
Well, he has a couple of them. They all start with K.
Yeah, but I think Casey is in the Blue Jays farm system
all
still.
Right. Well done.
I think the other ones are done, yeah. But they all played high school ball right here in Houston.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know. I mean, he called into the local show the other day. So
did he really?
Yeah.
All right. So he's still active. He's still kicking.
He's still
it.
Active.
That's good.
He'll still talk baseball from time to time.
86. I loved watching him pitch that year. He went 14-0 to start the season.
Can we just make a blanket statement? The guys, you know what? The steroid era was terrible. But put these guys in.
Yeah.
Especially I don't care.
Roger Clemens. I don't care that Dan Duquette said he was in the twilight of his career and he would use steroids to prove him wrong. He was fantastic. I loved watching Clemens pitch.
He was
workhorse, man. 300 wins, all of those strikeouts. Yeah, I'm fine with Clemens.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to the Rocket.
And happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jake Asman Show coming up next. Thanks for joining us at Sports Map Radio Network. Have a good Tuesday.